Yo, I put it like wow. This that sound. These oaks don't work hard like me, I hope they know by now. Baobab, stand my ground. Throw these money trees, go overseas like Percy Tau. I make sure you stay around, quiet when I'm under loud. No negatives allowed, me positivity took a vow. I always play to win, don't anticipate loss. Mind always in the cloud, my boy. Never think about the drop, never ever ever think about the drop.
Welcome to it, sports fans. It is the MKT show. I am MKT. I told you, like, share, subscribe, YouTube page. We are back. We have returned. We have risen from the ashes like the phoenix. We are down in George with the UTMB registered, of course, Mutt in George. It is absolutely incredible down here. We've got a massive week coming up. Listen, Arsenal fans are crying, so we're going to talk about that a little bit later this week. Man City celebrate 4 in a row. We're going to talk about that this week. But first and foremost, we're going to talk about the Otanico Mountains and the challenges they'll present. And why is the Mutt part of the UTMB, the international race where there's 45 races around the world? A little bit later, I got some legends joining me. Rebecca Kuna, she's something else, an absolutely electric local athlete who runs for NARC. NARC, of course, our official rehydration partner this week at the Mutt by UTMB. And then after that, race director, dad, all-round good guy, adventure racer, crazy man, absolutely incredible human, Zane Schmal. It started all with a dream, and he has made it real for his own people. That is what's coming up. Later this week, a bunch of legends. I've lined up one of my own heroes for an interview this week. I'm looking forward to having her on the show. An all-time legend, Ryan Sands. He's on Friday. That's just some of the stuff we got coming up. We've got a Sangoma joining us this week. Not quite the one you're thinking about. He's a different type of Sangoma. He's in the sports world. So that's also coming up. Are you kidding me? The MKT show is back. Coming up after this, Rebecca Kuna. Welcome back to an MKT show. I'm with somebody who I saw 3 years ago, I think. 3 or 4 years ago when I was younger and less ugly. I was never handsome. I was less ugly at the time. And I remember her thinking, oh, who's that? Well, what is that person up to? And she was just doing the baby race. And she's now the real deal. And we are at the Mutt, of course. And she represents the local community. She represents the local community. Rebecca Kuna. Kuna.
Kuna.
I was close. I was close.
Yeah, yeah.
Say it again.
Kuna.
Remember when I said it wrong last year when you were the... Because you won the race last year, hey? Which one did you win?
No, I came second.
Second in what?
Marathon.
In the marathon. Yeah. And I said your name completely wrong in front of the whole UTMB fraternity. Remember that?
Yeah.
It was terrible. I think I said Kuna.
Everyone does.
Oh. I was so embarrassed. And I blame Zane, who is the owner of Mutt, because he didn't tell me the right thing. And you're a local runner.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't. Are you just saying that because you like Zane as a person?
No, everyone gets it wrong. I don't think he can say it either.
So I'm not a... Oh, he can't. So I'm not a bad person.
No.
Rebecca, how are you doing?
I'm good.
What you been up to?
Training hard.
Yeah?
Excited for my first race of the season coming up this weekend.
Here at Mutt, eh?
Yeah.
Well, what race are you running?
The 42.
When did you get into running?
I've been running my whole high school career.
Yeah.
I was a track runner for a while, or my whole high school career. And then 2019, I got a big injury and I broke my hip.
Yeah.
And then I kind of wanted to finish my high school on the track and get back to racing and finish the race that I didn't finish.
Yeah.
And I did. And then shortly after that, I got a stress fracture underneath where it broke. And then I went to like a bikineticist and the doctors And they all said I should rather do some trail running if I want to carry on running. And yeah, I got into trail running, and ever since, 2021, end of 2021, I started running trails, and never looked back.
Wait, you broke your hip in school?
Yes.
I didn't understand, because you were telling me a little bit earlier. I thought that now you're like, when you were a big girl.
No.
Like, when you were a tiny child.
Yeah, I was 15, yeah.
No way. Yeah. I didn't understand that.
Yeah.
So you broke your hip. What are you, like a tiny granny? Whoa. What are we doing? Like a hip injury is like granny.
No.
Anyway, okay, so you broke it, and then the stress factor came when you did, because you
tried it. It healed, and then I think I ramped it up too quickly, and then my bones were not fully, like, they were quite brittle.
Yeah.
So granny bones.
Yeah, because you're like Benjamin Button, like a female Benjamin Button.
Yeah, so then it kind of, fracture came, and then also had to go complete like rest for like 2 months.
Oh, that's disgusting.
Yeah.
Listen, I had ITB. Now, I don't want to make this sound like I'm anywhere near your level of running. 2015, I had ITB. I couldn't run for a year and a half. But thing is, I'm old and not a good athlete. You're a five-star athlete. So that's crazy. So then you came back, and basically trail running was just like, because I think most people think mountains are harder on your legs than the road. And I think people don't understand that mountains are
softer,
actually.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So that like breaks the impact a little bit.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So they suggested, hey, do that because it'll be softer on the body.
Yeah.
And then, so then what happened? Like, oh, I'm pretty good at this.
Yeah. I just I love running. And I thought if I wanted to carry on running, I'm going to have to try a different type of running. And I never thought it would be trail running.
Yeah.
But I got into it, and then I just decided, like, I need to prove to myself that I can run. And I've always wanted to be a professional athlete of some sort. So I just thought, like, maybe try pursue this and, yeah.
No, hold on. You're saying that like there were other options. Like, were you like a brilliant hockey player as well?
No.
Really? So
no,
what, like, I've always wanted to be a professional athlete. Like,
no,
what?
I've always wanted to, like, maybe be like a top contender for half marathon or 10K or on the road. But yeah, like trail running so much more better than that.
Tell me something. What were you doing on the track?
I was doing...
What distance?
3,000 meters.
That's hard, eh?
Yeah, but I ran like 800, 1,500 and 3,000. So I trained for those three. And then, I would race all three on the race day.
So when you started trail running, I mean, obviously you clearly, you're like, you've got that pedigree. You always start off with big ambitions, but did you see yourself, because I mean, you're sort of really 2 years properly into the game.
Yeah.
A sponsored athlete now.
Yes.
Obviously, NARC are sponsoring, obviously a hydration partner of the Mutt.
Yeah.
Here. How did you get involved with them?
I went overseas last year.
Mm-hmm. Where? Tell us.
I went to Croatia and I raced Istria 100 by UTMB. I did the 20K.
Yeah.
And then I came back, I did Mutt, and then I went back to Europe for UTMB. I did the ETC.
Yeah.
And then...
Which is what, for context?
It's the youth race of ETC. So ETC is the... like the higher ranked, I think.
Yeah.
20K race. So the YCC is the same, but it's for under 21.
Got you.
So this year I'll do ETC because I'm 21.
Okay. So you're putting your big girl pants on this year.
Got you. So, it was a 20K race. And then the day after was like a 4K like sprint kind of, but up.
Like a vertical kilometer, but by four.
Yeah. So it was that. And then, shortly after I came back, I raced. I was about 2 weeks out from UTCT.
Yeah.
And NARC contacted me. And, they just said, would I be interested to join the team, like try their products? And, so.
Isn't that amazing? Like, you had the tragedy, and I don't want to go on too much about it, of the injury. And your recovery kind of led you into something. You know, sometimes in life, and it's difficult, right? Yeah. Especially when we're young, we think it's the end of the world.
Yeah.
Nothing's the end of the world, because in that adversity, just the way I'm listening to you as you're talking, it's like, little did you know that on the other side, it sounds like you love mountains, you love that. And also, your home race, because you're from George, your home race is going to be the only African race that's a part of UTMB. Obviously, Mauritius joined and more to come on that. But like, isn't it crazy how that's gone in 2 years for you?
Yeah, it's really cool. Like, having the injury at the time obviously was, like, really upsetting for me.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, like I said, there's always... It's meant to happen. Like, everything is meant... What happens, happens, and it will make its way to something better eventually. Yes. So you just have to be patient.
You know, I've always seen myself as, like, a major disappointment to my parents, like across the board, you know? When I was younger, completely out of hand, super disappointment. And in my family, I'm easily the dumbest person in my family. Right? And I've got a chemistry degree, so don't play around.
Wow.
But I'm easily the dumbest person in my family. So I've been a letdown for my family from the beginning. You are 22 and you're talking like this. Like,
21. That's 20,
sorry. It's just that you had a hip injury like a granny. So I thought you were old. Sorry, 21. You're 21. And you're speaking this way. Is it like, are you like a big family person? Because I'm big on family, you know, like now my family is everything to me. Do you have like your, I don't know if it's mom and dad, who's supporting you? Because you sound like so grounded.
My family is a big part of my support system, obviously. I'm very lucky to have parents that are always willing to be there and do everything they can to, support me. Our family is very close. I have a sister. She's 2 years younger than me.
Okay.
Also very sporty. She was really, played hockey in high school. She matriculated last year. We love like being there for each other. My dad was, he used to be like a professional surfer.
Okay.
Back in the day. and he was attacked by a great white shark.
What are you talking about?
He was attacked here in Wilderness.
Yeah?
When he was 18, quite a while ago. he was attacked and they saved his leg and everything. He still surfs. He's done a couple Ironmen. So he's also a very big sporty guy.
What are we talking about? I've never understood that about surfers. Like a great white shark attacks you and he's just like, no, it's fine. I'm the problem, not the shark. I was in his home.
That's
like,
literally how he sees it.
No. Well, which is right though. Like people always say that the waters are shark infested. No. They live there. The sharks live there. No one says your house is human infested. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That is so crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, but so you've got that athleticism from dad?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's kind of in the gym. Is your sister athletic?
Yeah,
Are you competitive?
No, she likes the gym more than other types of...
Well, like clean, are we clean and jerking? Like,
no, she like just Olympic lifting? She likes fitness and stuff, but she's not like a CrossFitter or anything like that.
Okay. Yeah. She's stronger than you? So you are competitive. I knew it. Listen, I have a
maybe
sibling.
She's fitter in like I
explosive
don't know
fitness.
Like HIIT workouts.
Yes.
But, yeah.
Yeah, that's quite trendy now. HIIT workouts. Yeah. That's like such a yucky
thing. I mean, in lockdown, we like did HIIT workouts every day together.
Really?
Yeah, we couldn't go to the gym, so we just did HIIT workouts with skipping ropes and stuff.
So family's big to you. And I mean, that's amazing. You know, sometimes when I was younger, part of my journey and struggle early on was I just try to do everything myself.
Yeah.
Like, and then it's just like everything's just so much harder. It's like people who love you and support you don't really, especially for you as an athlete. You know, I'd love to hear your perspective. But sometimes, I mean, I was an athlete, not on your level, but I played professional football when I was younger. So, and when that ends, you kind of think my identity's gone.
Yeah.
And sometimes you forget, like, no, I'm a brother, I'm a son.
Yeah.
You know, like, these things are in the bigger picture, as at least as important. And I mean, as a professional athlete, you have to be selfish, right? Like, it's part of, like, hey, I got to train, I got to recover, it's got to be me, I need positive reinforcement.
Yeah.
But sometimes I used to forget, like, oh, my mom's still going to love me if I can't play professional football. Like, I'm still her son, and she still wants the best for me.
Yeah.
Like, my identity is not football. So for you, I love that for you, especially at a young age, that you're able to see that your family loves you. And I hope as you get better, you know, sometimes the better you get, I think sometimes for people like us on the outside, and I'm happy to hear your thoughts, is we don't realize what it takes.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we go, why is she like that? Why didn't she phone us back? It's like, she's trying to achieve, he or she is trying to achieve on that next level.
Yeah.
Like, take sacrifice, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The greater the sacrifice, yeah, often the greater the reward.
Yeah.
So I'm happy for you.
Thank you.
And I'm happy for, like, you know, don't you think we all need someone to make proud?
Yeah, I feel like it's important to have someone to, like, almost hold you account, not accountable, but, like, it's special when you make someone proud.
Mm.
And, like, you feed off from that person that, I don't know, like, kind of, not praises you,
yes,
but, like,
yes,
like, acknowledges you,
mm,
which is quite special, I find.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just, it's absolutely, for me, that's, I love family, you know?
Yeah.
And I love that your family's so close. Yeah. And, you know, it's quite lacquer about this race. So part of, and I want to be honest, I used to be this guy, you know, with women's sport.
Yeah.
I almost used to be like, okay, you know what, I love my mom and my sister.
Yeah.
Women's sport can be a box-ticking exercise. Like, I don't want to be like the PC guy who goes, yeah, oh, women forever. Like, I don't want to pretend I didn't have these attitudes, yeah, of like, okay, just tick the box, guys. Let the women participate. But
yeah,
let's just focus on the real thing, which is, yeah, the men's thing, you know?
Yeah.
No, and I was this guy. Yeah. Especially when I was younger.
Yeah.
But as across the board, right, as it gets more mature,
yeah,
I don't want to come out here and say I'm some president of support the women.
Yeah.
I just want to keep it real. It's like, if people are doing great things, like, let's give it the room to breathe.
Yeah.
You don't need to love it.
Yeah.
I'm not asking every man to go, I support every woman who runs now. That's not what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But elite people are doing elite things.
Yeah.
Give it the room to breathe. And I think one of the most amazing things about Mutt, and I don't think most people know this,
yeah,
it's one of the races where the female participants actually outnumber the male participants,
yeah,
in trail running, which is the only one on the UTMB circuit, right?
Yeah.
I think it's a 56-44 split. I'll check those numbers, okay, in terms of percent. And so they've come up with something which I loved. I've been talking to Zane for 8 months about it, about the Shimut.
Yes.
And I know I saw your video. Guys can go and check that out on the socials.
Yes.
You know, I really liked your interview. But
oh,
that focus is quite important, because for you as a female athlete, what's it been like coming into it? And I think maybe you're in a different time to when I was younger, because I'm very old. I'm nearly twice your age. It was a different time, you know? It was almost like women on the side. Okay, kind of let them play, but we'll just... So for you, you're coming in. And I think female running, let's just focus on that, has been embraced. I don't know if you feel that kind of support from not just yourself, but just races and sort of the female running community here and globally.
Yeah, like, I think the female, like, view of everyone watching and supporting, it's definitely grown, just from, like, people doing great things, or women,
yeah,
doing great things.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, for example, Courtney Dearwater, she, like, she beats the men, which is, like, incredible.
Oh, no.
So she's, like, she's really making it good for the women. And yeah, women, they obviously feed off from her and want to do, or, like, get motivated from her, and they want to also try be like her and yeah, just make the woman proud.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think, look, men obviously do dominate because they're men.
Yeah, yeah, it's kind of established, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and like, even for me, I know I'm a female athlete, and obviously I want to be overall, like, recognized.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
But yeah, like, obviously it must be like supported both sides equally. But yeah, sometimes I think it is hard.
As a female athlete.
Yeah.
So I won't speak for you. I'll give you my thoughts, and you don't have to respond, because, you know, as athletes, sometimes it's difficult to get involved in a conversation like this. So I'll just give you my perspective as a female. I'm a male supporting running.
Yes.
So I'm not really a PC guy, because a lot, okay, of people try and be PC about it. Let me give you just my view on it, right?
Okay.
For me, I've always said, this thing is not a pie. One thing, as I get older, it's like, you know, a pie, when you eat it, you don't get more pie if I give you some. I finish the pie. The pie is finished. This running thing and enjoyment thing is not a pie.
Yeah.
When I get success and women get success, they're not taking my pie. The male pie stays the same size.
Yeah.
And I want to be honest.
Exactly.
I used to struggle with that as a man. Like, no, why do women want to be... Why do they want to play football?
Yeah.
Why do they want to play rugby?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's our thing.
Yeah.
And then I realized, you know what, dude? If you don't want to watch it, cool. It's not taking from your joy. Why are you getting... And then as I get older, it's like, oh, okay, why am I getting so emotional about it? If I don't want to watch it, that's fine. It doesn't mean women can't be celebrated and be paid for putting in the same amount of work.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that from a PC sense, right? Mm. I mean, it's like, I've got sisters. Like, I want my sister to have different heroes than Kim Kardashian. No, like, seriously, I say that all the time. I don't want pop stars and Kim Kardashian to be the only female heroes we can have. Like, you know, my mom's a doctor. Like, those are the people I want as heroes. Yeah. Why can't they be trail runners? Why can't they... And again, it's not a pie.
Yeah.
That's one thing I'm having to realize. This thing's not a pie.
Mm.
When women come in, it's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
And it's unlimited. There's room for everybody. So that's just my view. And to be clear, I want to say this very clearly. She's not saying that, right? Rebecca's not saying that. I'm saying what I'm saying. And it doesn't have to be your opinion. You don't have to comment. If you do have a thought, I'd love to hear it. But you don't have to, because I know it can be a touchy subject for people.
Yeah, like the trail running community is very different to other sporting communities, I find.
Yeah.
We're very, like, supportive and we're very equal, I think.
Yeah.
And we're all friendly, no matter if we're competing against each other. Like, we'll always be friendly and root for each other. And yeah, that's really cool. So I think it's more like equal. We're still getting to like having it even on both sides, but I think it's getting a lot like women's like getting there much faster in the trail running community than like, say, I don't know, the cycling or the hockey or...
Yeah, I mean, cycling is terribly boring anyway. Nobody's so boring. I don't know why people like cycling. Anyway. You know what I think it is in running? So I like the science in it, you know. So I'm studying genetics at the moment.
Okay.
Hopefully going to finish my degree in the next 10 years at some stage. And one of the cool things about it, and I think this is what it is, women actually get better as the distance
get
gets longer and they get older.
Older,
so actually, I mean, Courtney Dalwood is a whole different animal.
Yeah.
I think she's an alien. They need to test her. But in all races, you're seeing the longer races get, women are top 10-ing more and more and more. And the science actually, so this isn't like hoo-ha, I want to be.
Yeah.
All the, no, it's this is the science telling you that women get better as the suffering gets longer. So women are now top 10-ing and it's not like a big story.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, no, she was top 8. Oh, okay, cool. So I think trail running maybe has that, oh, this is people competing.
Yes.
So it's not like we don't have to be defensive about it because they're coming top 10 without your permission or your opinion. There's the point. So maybe I don't know if that's true, but maybe that's bleeding into like, oh, okay, no, we're doing our thing. And dude, that's I think that's awesome. And I wanted to ask you something about George and Mutt and obviously the UTMB coming here.
Yeah.
With it being local for you, does it mean a little bit more? Because, you know, in football is my game.
Yeah.
In football, it means more when your own player is from the academy and he comes to the first team, you know?
Yeah.
Like, for you, it must be amazing that the premium global running event is in your home city, or not. I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, so having Mattia is and part of UTMB is really cool.
Yeah.
Also, for athletes that are maybe wanting to go to Chamonix and do the final, you do need those running stones to qualify.
Yeah.
And not all athletes are privileged enough to go and compete in other UTMB races to gain those stones to maybe qualify.
Yeah.
But for me, luckily, I have a sponsor that's willing to...
Knock.
Yeah.
Shout out.
Yeah. So it's really special for those runners to be able to do that and qualify for... Like, it's, I think, any trail runner's dream to go to Chamonix and run there.
Yeah.
So it's really cool to have that here. And also for me to have it... Like you said, having your football game on home ground or whatever, it's really special because, like, most of the time your family will be there, your friends, the local community, so it kind of feels...
And your sister who lifts more than you in the gym.
So it's really special to have that here because, you feel the support extra when they're here in person. But when you're away, it's also, you can feel the support no matter what. But also, to have the race here, you know the trails, you can wreck it.
Yeah.
You can know where you are. Like, for example, if I'm having a tough time, I know exactly where I am. It's like this much till the finish. Like, so that also gives you a little bit of motivation. But yeah, having it here, sometimes you can feel the pressure a little bit more
when it's
at home. Yeah. But yeah, I try not to let that get to me.
No, listen, that's going to be tricky. Tell me something. Who are your heroes? Like, sometimes people think elite athletes don't have heroes. Like, for you, do you have two or three people that you're like, oh my goodness, if I could, you know, obviously you never want to be that person, but if I could get to that level, do you have any heroes in the running space or non-running space?
Yeah, it's hard. Like, I can't always pinpoint a hero, but I do look up to, like, for my dad, for example, I look up to him because...
He's a shark bite survivor.
Yeah.
I look up to him. I've never met him. Imagine telling... Well, 18 years ago or whatever, or 50 years ago, however old your dad is, you know, I had a big night out and, you know, I got home after a crazy night. What's your craziest story? Well, a great white shark bit my leg and I survived and I had two daughters, one who's incredible in the gym and stronger than Rebecca. And then I had Rebecca.
She's going to be happy when you hear that.
I know what competitive is. I have siblings. He survived a shark bite. Yeah. Sorry, but he's my hero. But sorry, your hero.
Yeah, he's... I look up to him because he also obviously went through a really, like, tough time recovering and everything. And also, like, when I broke my hip, I was upset with myself and, like, I couldn't run. And that makes you, like, you want to run.
Yeah.
Or you want to do the thing you love.
Yes.
And it's hard. So he couldn't, like, go surfing. And, you know, eventually when he recovered, he got back into it and then... decided one day, okay, he's going to do an Ironman.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he, like, also pushed through Ironman because when he runs, his leg gets sore sometimes.
Yeah.
He pushed through that and, like, I saw him, like, during the event and, like, it's nice to see someone you love, like, or it's hard to see someone you love push through the pain and, like, grit their teeth through it. But at the end, he finished and he was, like, stoked to be there. So it's really cool to see.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It's amazing. So you're old man, huh?
Yeah.
What's his name?
Donovan.
Donnie.
Donia.
Oh, little Donnie. Donnie Kiana.
Yes.
Huh?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Because most people would go, I don't know, Bill Gates or whatever, or Oprah.
Yeah.
But your dad's your hero. Sometimes your heroes are right where you are. Like, sometimes we look to Instagram, but, like, it is an amazing thing. Because my sister's my hero. So that's why I love your answer.
It's also my sister's also my hero.
Well, she does lift more than you, and I'm not saying she's the better daughter, but she is stronger.
Yeah,
I
think she is.
I'm sorry.
No,
I don't want to say it, but she does clean and jerk, and she also does probably her bench is probably what 10 times yours.
Yeah.
So
maybe 20.
That's what I'm saying. So not saying she's better, but she is lifting more than you.
But she also went through a hard time.
Let's hear it.
She had an open heart surgery.
What is your hero like the Avengers? Is your family like the Avengers? What are you talking about?
Yeah, she was born with like a hole in her heart. So then eventually they needed to like operate just to close it so that the blood could like pump through
or
whatever. But she went through quite a hectic operation and she also had to recover for a couple of months. And now she's 40 times... pressing 40 times my
she's the fittest kid. She's actually she's making the family the most proud by with all due respect. I mean, I don't want to kind of kick you when you're down, but your sister does seem a little, she had a hole in the heart.
Yeah, I know.
What are we talking about? So wait, is your mom like the only normal person who just, her biggest thing was stubbing her toe at night going to the bathroom on the couch? Like, that's the most adversity she's faced. You guys are like, what is going on in your family?
We've been through it all.
That's what I'm saying. You're going to have to tell whoever you may want to marry one day, obviously after you've won every trail race in the world, right? Give it 10 years. We don't need anyone coming into your life and distracting you from being an elite athlete. But let's say one day somebody is lucky enough to marry you. You're going to have to tell him that here's the thing about my family. Shark bite, hole in the heart, broken hip at 15, so might have granny genes.
Yeah.
It is, you are going to have to tell the person that if you're going to be with me, you're going to have to be able to come back from adversity because it's a part of my genes. It's in the blood.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, that's absolutely incredible, man. And I want to finish off with the narc relationship.
Yes.
That's wild.
Yeah.
A hole in the heart.
Yeah.
What's your sister's name?
Isabella.
Is she a good person?
She's a wonderful person.
Oh, do you know the song Total Eclipse of the Heart? Bonnie Tyler. Look it up when you get home.
Okay.
It's Not quite a hole in the heart, but absolute banger.
Okay.
It's a romantic song. It's a nice song.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. If you're trying to set the mood. Although, you, I don't want you worrying about that.
Okay. Nick,
our plan, and because I'm a fan of yours,
okay.
our plan
yes.
is that in the next 10 years, you're going to become a world-class athlete.
Yes.
So I don't need Stefan or Craig or Skumbles or whatever. Sliding in the, don't slide in the DMs, guys. Just for another 10 years.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Are you booed up right now?
Yeah, I am.
Oh, good for you. How is it?
Professional cyclist.
Smart. Create X-Men. Because if your genes, his genes, oh, he's a professional cyclist. Fantastic. Even if you, God forbid, anything were to happen to the relationship.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Have babies.
I'm not having babies.
Yet.
No.
At all.
No.
This is the kind of focus I like. Because we're going to win multiple championships
yes.
and become the greatest runner of all time. But
well, hopefully.
I do want to change your mind a little bit because yeah. it's very rare that two elite athletes are together. So even if you break up, which isn't going to happen, you're obviously going to be happy together forever. But even if you do, have the baby for the sake of humanity because we want to produce... Like, I don't want people having babies with idiots like me. It's eating away at humanity. But two elite athletes, professional cyclists, your boyfriend.
Yeah.
We have the opportunity to do something great here. We're like, listen.
It's not going to happen.
No, listen, right now it mustn't happen. Let's give it 10 years. Because one of the things about, let's review the business plan at that time. Because right now, our business,
yes.
isn't at a place where we can have a baby. Mm. Let's give it 10 years. And then once we get there, elite athletes, we've won, what, 4 or 5 CCCs. We've won UTMB. You know, we've won Hard Rock.
That's a lot of
we've
pressure.
We've won Mutt. Yeah, well, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
And then it's like, what else is left to do? Well, I've done great on the... Let me give the world an X-Man. And then we'll build another Avengers squad, hopefully without a hole in the heart.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Let's finish off on... I'm stoked for you with Narc, eh? Are you doing some cool stuff? And where should we look for you? Where can people... Tell us your handles. Tell us all of that, the stuff that matters. And where we can look for you in 2024.
Rebecca, yeah. Kenna. On Instagram.
On the gram, man.
And Facebook, but I don't really use Facebook.
No, because you're not 100. I mean, although you have granny injuries, grannies are using Facebook, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's where all the likes come. The tunnies love the content.
Oh, they like you on Facebook?
Yeah, they love anyone on Facebook.
Oh, they do, hey. Old people communicate on Facebook like they're in the room with you.
Yes.
Hi, Dawn, where are you?
Yes.
Yeah. What are we doing? Like, this person's going to see it, like, 3 days later. It's, like, 6:30 at night. They're already sleeping. With all due respect to old people, but they are sleeping at, like, 5:30. They've already eaten dinner.
That's me!
That's why you had a cracked hip at 12, because you're a granny, I told you. Okay, so Rebecca, Kiona, how do you spell that?
Rebecca, Khrhne.
Mm-hmm. Just like that. Rebecca Kiona on Instagram. And TikToker? We on the TikToker or not?
No.
Okay, we're not doing dances.
No.
Okay, cool. And then, anyway, what are we racing? So we're obviously going to race Matt with the 20.
42.
Okay, 42, big girl pants.
Yeah.
And then where are we for the rest of 20?
So I'll be racing the Sky Series this year.
Nice.
World Series.
The World Trail Series.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I'm very excited. I'll be heading to France after Matt now, months
cool.
after Matt. And then...
Where we go? Tell us the race.
France.
Wait, France, big place.
St. Martin's.
St. Martin's, so. Yeah,
there. And then I'll come back for a while. I think I'll do, I'm not sure.
Oh, you're still planning it out.
Still planning that. But then I'll go back in November for 2 more Sky races.
Mm-hmm.
And then, And then I'm doing ETC at UTMB.
Oh, beautiful. Oh, with the
yes.
adults.
Yes.
How long is that?
I think it's 17Ks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like some people don't know, but obviously UTMB Mont Blanc.
Yes.
That is the final
yes.
of the UTMB series. So you're going to be there. You're going to be in the mix. Meet some of the people that inspire you.
Yes.
That's amazing. And I really, really appreciate, you're not a, so this is the first time we've ever really like spoken properly.
Yeah.
Can I tell you what I really appreciate about you?
Yeah.
I think at your age, I was nowhere near as conscious of myself and the people around me as you are. So it's quite amazing to see that you're able to be that and split it with being a big weakness of mine is whatever I'm doing, I'm quite absorbed in myself. But to see you at your age be able to acknowledge you know, have a congratulations on having a, like a romantic relationship, your family, kind of keeping that in perspective. No one's perfect, but I want to acknowledge that as something I lack, and I see it in you, and I don't know you very well, but I mean, I've heard from Zane, like, what kind of person you are. And I really admire that. I admire that in someone so young who's like, because it's not easy, right? Being young's not easy. And I appreciate that you've got that, the wherewithal to go, I can make these things happen, family relationships, and, you know, a romantic relationship, and still commit yourself and pour yourself into this thing. So, because you're a coach as well, hein?
Yeah.
That's amazing. So you're giving as well in that space. How do people get a hold of you for coaching?
We have a Instagram page, Seeking Trails.
Seeking Trails.
Yes.
Okay. And that's literally S-E-K-S-W-E-K-I-N-G.
Yes. Trails. Underscore Trails.
Oh, underscore.
Yes.
Couldn't get the Seeking Trails full one.
No.
Yeah, you got to get that, really.
We had to get a few names.
Oh, yeah.
Until it was accepted, but yeah.
Oh, man. And your boyfriend is a professional cyclist?
Yeah.
What's his name? Give him a shout out. Who does he cycle for?
Tristan Nokia. He cycles for Honeycomb Pro Cycling.
Nice.
Yeah.
Do you ever see each other? Like, you guys are doing amazing things.
Yeah, he's away quite often. And now when I start racing, I also...
So you're away.
Yeah. But it's good.
Yeah, that kind of works. That kind of works. Like, absence make the heart grow fonder or whatever. Yeah. And it gives you the time to do your thing.
Yes.
And... It's perfect. You don't get too annoying around each other.
Yeah. It's also, I think it's good to have someone that understands me and where my mindset and focus is at.
Yes.
Because we're very similar in that way. So
because most people aren't trying to do great things. No. It's a reality.
They do great things in different
spaces. Yeah, like at a bakery, fine. But in reality, you're an elite sportsman. You are slight. Yeah. But no one wants to acknowledge it. Like, elite athletes are a little bit better than the rest of society. You're not saying that. I'm saying that. But everyone gets so offended. Oh, my word. Wow. Yeah. They are a little bit better than you are. Celine, who's taking a walk with her double mocha every day and six muffins and is like, oh, my goodness. I also exercise. You're not Rebecca's sister who's bench pressing.
She's going to love this.
Oh, what's her name again?
Isabella.
Might be my hero. And I like you, but I'm starting to love Isabella.
Yeah.
Dude, I appreciate you. I appreciate you. Thanks so much. Thanks so much for taking the time.
Anytime.
Thanks for being so lucky.
It's been so cool.
look after that hip.
Yeah. Scar to show.
Ladies and gentlemen, Rebecca Kuhner, look out for the name. She's doing big things. And hey, you've just heard it. You tell me. You tell me. Were you that at 21, 22? I'm 38. I'm not even as composed and as put together as this young woman here. So if you are South African, you should be extremely proud. If you're the trail running community, you should be even more proud that there's young talent like this that are conscious about it. And one of the thing about this new generation that I just love is one of the sayings they have in trail running is leave the trails better than you found them. And that is a spirit that I know Rebecca kind of embodies. And you've heard how conscious she is. You know, nobody's perfect. We don't expect these young people to be perfect. But what we expect them to do is to keep aiming up. And you meet people like this, and it makes you want to aim up. So to Rebecca, to the NARC crew, to UTMB, we are here in Mutt, at Mutt all week. And really, really looking forward to it. Catch Rebecca on Saturday as she does her thing. You know, we're down in George, not just for a good time, not to play golf at Fan Court, not to mix with the hoity-toities, but to enjoy the beautiful mountains. Otanikwa presents something which was first in Africa, part, of course, of the UTMB World Tour. We're a part of it. It's the Mutt, proudly brought to you by UTMB. And I met this guy, I think 6 or 7 years ago, when I was pretending to be a runner. I saw him at a different event. And he was holding a camera, and I thought, okay, that's a pretty cool beard. What is that guy doing here? Yeah, it's weird. Why does he have that beard? Why does he look so fit? Why does he look so strong? When am I going to look like that? And then I got to know who he was, and then we started to work together, and then I ran his race, and I hated him for those moments. And then I came and emceed his race, actually, and then I consider him a friend. I don't know what he'd call me. You know, it's an incredible thing when local people do great things for their own people. Zane, it's been an honor getting to know you, even though I will never achieve the things you've achieved, especially in the sport that I now love, in the mountain running.
No, man.
It's incredible to be here for Mutt, man, and great to be with you, dude. And thanks for having us back this year. This year is the MKT show, but also always having me and just treating me like an absolute legend. So it's amazing to see what you've done in this race in, what, 4 or 5 years?
Yeah, this is actually the 6th year, eh? Sometimes I have to pinch myself and think, Flip, we've been doing this for 6 years.
Yeah.
It doesn't get easier, though.
You know what I want to start with? No, it probably gets harder.
No, it gets, well, you always dream bigger, eh? And I think, like, to just touch on what you introed there, and thanks for the intro, and I certainly consider you as a mate.
Oh,
and the problem is whenever we get together, now we're just doing it on screen, but we talk like non-stop. So it's good to always bounce ideas with you and chat. And yeah, thanks for your time, man.
And dude, it's, you know, like, it's your home event. You know, I always kind of liken it to this. You know, if somebody insults you or says mean things about you, it doesn't really affect you. If your mom or dad says it, it hits a different place. But it works the same in the opposite, you know. If other people come and do great things in South Africa and whatever, we're happy. But when it's your own people, you know, I don't know if it's because people can feel it, but it matters to you a little bit more, and then it matters to the people. You're doing something great and world-class in your own place. Like, what does that feel like for you? You know, sometimes we can dream a little bit small, but for you to take something in your own home yard, which is just incredible if people haven't been here, and take it to the world and go, we can do it here in George as well, you know?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's amazing to be able to do that and to have done that to a certain extent. When we've certainly not hit the ceiling yet. I'm pretty confident that there's still some heights to climb in this event, and I want to do more with it. But it's become more than an event, and I think to be able to do that at home and things, it gets fueled by just doing the everyday thing.
Yeah.
And I think I've told you this before, and it's been recorded many times, but it always comes back to the single moment of running what we envisaged the 60K route the first time. And we ran that in 2016. Jock Matorn and I, now Jock's our route director for the event.
Yeah.
And him and I ran it. And on the route, obviously we spent the full day out there together chatting and what is this event going to be? And even before that run, when we decided we want to do a trail run in George, we thought it would be, you know, hosting a trail run for the sake of trail running. Yeah. It didn't really talk to me. It was just, we're going to do a trail run and we've got the mountains, we've got some trails. We'll do something, you know, we'll make it work.
Yeah.
At that time, I was very much focused on our mountain bike events. That's also part of our stable and that sort of thing. Anyway, when we came off the mountain that day, I said to Jock, like, Flip, dude, this mountain, this route, this trail, it deserves a proper event. And I think every time I struggle with, are we doing the right thing or not? Or should we go this big? Should we go to the stadium where we now? And should we always bring myself back to that moment of deciding, this is going to be a big and international event. And I think in 2018, that was 2016. It took us 2 years to figure it out.
Yeah.
2018, we had the first event. And we had 236 runners in the first event total.
Yeah.
Okay. We probably started with about 30 runners on that 60K route.
Yeah.
This year alone on the 60K, we've got more than what we had in the,
the whole
event in 2018.
Yep.
And I always say to myself, when we started there, I say to people, this is going to be an international event. People were, Zane was smoking some ganja.
Yes, back in the forest, the good stuff.
He's not, he doesn't know what he's talking about. But it was always the mindset, and was always the look and feel, the idea, the investment in good media and guys like you to come to the event. It was always the idea that we build it to what it is today. And I'm stoked that, you know, and what I'm grateful for is that this event's no longer, I don't refer it to as my event. It is not my event. And it's, our event. So George has taken ownership. The community, the trail runners, they talk about the mat as their event. You know, I think we've got an unbelievable community helping and assisting me. Got mates outside there at the moment, busy building. Yeah. And they're my mates. Them and the mates that I bri with, you know, that are like grafting. And I like sometimes look at them and I'm like, what the hell are you oaks doing grafting for this asshole telling you what to do? But exactly. They're my mates and it works. Yeah.
And it matters then. Mm. Like it just matters more when it's your own. And, you know, part of that is like, it's unspoken, you know. Mm. Sometimes if you are outside and you come and do things, it doesn't quite hit the same because they know you care as well. You know, one of the things that I've tried to figure out is why do some people do things to a certain level is people know when you don't care. Yeah. People know when you just want to take. They know. Like people aren't stupid. We think people are stupid, but they can see that you care. And I think one of the things that makes you very unique and a lot of event owners, because I've worked with events around the world, a lot of event owners who own this, run it as a business, right, is I think for you is this is your world. You know, you've raced around the world in the adventure racing space. And I think people can sense that. Like, I know when a race has been prepared by a racer, by a runner. I know. It's very different to when it's prepared by somebody who's seen it on paper and is good at topography and has worked at events for a long time. But when you're a guy like you who's adventure race, I mean, how long you been in the adventure racing space, like as an athlete?
Yeah, probably... 10 years, yeah.
You know, adventure racing is tough for people to grasp, you know. I wanted to talk about that side of you as well. It's like, it's difficult for people to grasp. So maybe let's quickly talk about what is adventure racing and just talk about some of the distances. Because some people can't actually conceptualize what this thing is.
I think I struggle to grasp. I'm actually also completely envious and jealous at the moment because for the first time ever, a race that I do every year is called Expedition Africa.
Yep.
Is clashing with Matt this year. So my team is on their way to Namibia and racing in Namibia this coming week. But adventure racing in a quick summary.
Yep.
Four people in a team.
Yep.
Of which one at least needs to be female. You can have more than one female, but you need to have at least one girl in your team. Mm-hmm. And then we cover vast distances, which consists of mountain biking, trail running, kayaking, or some water. It's not always kayaking. Like we did a race on the island of Rodrigues a couple of years ago. There was sailing, kayaking, rowing, supping, so a lot. So water sport to a certain extent, and then there's always a bit of rope work involved. So like either big abseils or via ferratas or something like that, and then navigation, which is I actually list that as a leg. Most people, when they explain to you what adventure racing is, won't list that because it is a very important part. So to give you an idea. We raced. We just finished last year, October, the World Championships. Mm-hmm. We raced over a distance of 900 kilometers, and we raced for 6 full days, and we slept 2 hours in per 24 hours. So we slept about in total for the entire time. And you keep on going, and while you're doing all of that, you're navigating a course that's not marked. There's no wayfinding, there's nothing. All you have is a paper map with points that you have to collect. They're called control points, and that's the way the race organizer sort of guides you as to where he wants you to go. And obviously each leg is broken down, so this is a mountain bike leg and you have to get those points.
Yeah.
And then that's paper maps and a compass. You're not allowed any GPS devices, no cell phones, no technology whatsoever. So that's it. And you carry your own food and gear with you in that time that you're out there. And yeah, so that's in a nutshell. And sleep deprivation, and it's a team thing. You know, you can't do it without a team. You need to keep each other accountable and to figure things out. And then also the sleep is, when we sleep like under a bush, you know, or wherever. It's not in a, you're racing to a hotel room and dosing there.
That's you're like the yuppies like me. I need my comfortable accommodation. You know what it is as well that I've always found fascinating about adventure racing that separates it for me from any event in the world? I think a lot of people don't understand this. you only get told often the start when you get there. It's not like they tell you, oh, you're starting here, and everyone kind of knows. Everybody gets, when you arrive at the race, okay, well, here's where you're going to be starting, and you have to find the start.
Yeah, yeah.
That's another layer.
No, and it's like this, the thing when you go into closer to race week, it's like a constant thing. Everybody's guessing, figuring out. Different teams are asking each other and trying to figure out where we're going, what we're doing.
Yeah.
Like this World Champs was also like, we knew where we were finishing because that was the venue.
Yeah.
But we didn't know where we're starting and what direction we're going, you know. And you only find that out. And you also, when you find out, you only find out the first leg. After that, you only find, and then the picture gets painted as you move through the course.
It's like Super Mario. You keep unlocking new levels. Yeah. No, that's insane, but that speaks to how much this world matters to you. It's not like you've come in and said, hey, there's a good business opportunity. It's like, here's something I love. I'd like to share an element of it, because I think we're all doing the same thing. Obviously, you guys are just insane people that shouldn't be around human beings, other human beings. You're not safe to be around others, but we're really sharing nature. Like we're going, hey, I love this so much. I wish more people, which is what I've always picked up with you. It's like, no, I love the nature. Let's come and see what I experience, even if it's 20Ks, 60Ks, 100Ks, whatever it may be. And you know, there's a reason, whether you're religious or not, I think there's a reason why all stories across religions, 99% of them start around mountains.
Yeah.
No, like it doesn't matter where you go, what book you read, mountains are central to all biblical tales. And it doesn't matter what the Genesis story is, if you go and look across them all. There's a reason for that. It is probably the most humbling thing that we can experience, the majesty of a mountain. It does not care how sad you are. It doesn't care if your business has gone broke. It doesn't care if your girlfriend broke up with you. It doesn't care if you're a billionaire.
Yeah.
On the other side.
No, exactly.
Like the mountain is going to be the mountain whether you like it or not. And when you pitch up, it will break you. Yeah. No matter who you are, it will. And if you aren't willing to lose your ego, that's when people get in trouble. And it's the great equalizer. I think nature is the great equalizer, but nothing is like mountains. And I love that for you. I think the guys at UTMB also would have seen that, no, these guys are doing it. They're a part of the UTMB way of, we love the nature, let's protect it, let's share it, here's what it looks like. Let's share human endeavor, obviously these great champions. And you know, how did that UTMB relationship come about, bro? Because I think that's kind of interesting, again, for a relatively new race, in obscure George, you know, it's small by South African and African standards. How did that relationship come about, and before we get into where we are now?
Yeah, I think it took a lot longer than what people think. You know, we made the announcement, but it was like almost 2 years of negotiating and figuring out what that means. You know, I think to touch onto what you started saying in the beginning, it's a passion project, and it's also quite close to me, and it's my hometown. Yeah. So like whatever I decide to do here in town, you need to face people, and you need to, you know, you see people every day. Yeah. And so you have to figure out. So it took me quite a while to understand what that means, you know, like I, as a trail runner, and I'm sure you do, we all aspire to an event like the UTMB. It's a great finale and event to look up to.
Yep.
And it's so I knew all of that, what that meant, but what does it mean for us on the floor here and the day to day running, and what does it mean when we integrate with them? What is it actually on the floor and the difference it will make? And so it took me a while to figure that out. Secondly, also similar for the UTMB brand, the guys also needed to figure out whether this event, and more importantly, I think everything in life that we do is built around people and their passion. So they also had to figure out who we are and what we are doing and whether we fit in with the thing.
Yeah.
So it took quite a while. I asked for a lot of advice, but I think I even spoke to you, if you remember correctly, about that time, and trying to figure out and get as many diverse opinions on it. But we got approached by the team, and they said they needed a race. They wanted to put a race on the African continent, and they've heard about us. So then we presented an event before, and some of the officials from UTMB and from the Cape Epic and from the Ironman team came to our event and had a look and saw what we did, and the rest was history. It slowly started developing, and we got involved.
Yeah.
And Yeah, I think with like any partnership or anything that you go into in life, you never know until you know.
Yeah, it's true.
You always, and we all make this mistake. Like you start a new job or you get a new girlfriend or whatever. Yes. You think you're gonna, it's gonna be this.
Marriage. 50-year marriage, 3 kids, 2 dogs. Everyone on the first date.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's never that case. You know, it never works that way. So there's always, you always need to recalibrate in the partnership, in the process. And I think obviously that's been happening, but it's been good. I think like what we've done and what we've been able to do and what we've done in the history with Matt and what we are doing now. And for me, the biggest give back to the community, the mountain in this area, is the maintenance we put onto these trails. We spend a good amount of money into the mountain to make sure the trails are maintained and good nick, and that everybody can enjoy it, and that everybody can go out in the mountain. If we clean a trail now, it's there for the next year until we clean it again for the event the year after. So it's like people then have free access to those trails over that time.
Yeah,
we had very bad rains here, and we just built a new bridge. And I looked at the invoice and I was like, oh shit, I have to put this money into a wooden bridge. But it's now like the bridge is there. It looks like typically the guys that I helped got to help me built a bridge that looks like I want to bri on it at my home. It's like a deck. But it's an amazing bridge. And we do all of those things, and we wouldn't have been able to do that sort of level of give back to the community without the UTMB brand and being involved and being growing this race. You know, obviously there's all sorts of other elements and things that they bring that help us to elevate it, to have guys like you here.
Yep.
We're elevating the profile and getting the event bigger, you know, and that's really great.
So my thing I tell everyone now, and everyone, like, I know what my personality is like. I can come off a certain way. But one thing I've told people is I don't work with people I don't like. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Mm. I've done crap work for 10 years so that I can say that and live it. Like, if I don't like you as a person, I do not work with you.
Yeah.
Because listen, and to be clear, Zane is not saying this, I'm saying this. There are people in our industry, this very industry, I will not work with. And I'm not scared to say it. I've said it to their faces. So the only reason, you're not alone. There's some fantastic race owners around the world.
No,
but there are people I will not work with. I do not work with dickheads. I do not. I refuse. My mother raised me better than that. And a big reason why I've kept coming back is because I like you as a human, because you're a family guy, number one. You know, we don't have to bring your family into it. But our biggest connection point from my side was always, number one, you're a family person. I've spoken to you a lot about them. I know, I can see how you speak about them, your wife and your kids, when you speak about them. And then I've met you in that environment. I'm like, oh, no. That's what I want to be. He's a family person. So already I know that you're not a selfish person and you're caring. And then I've been around the event now enough to go, if he's doing that with his own family, he's naturally going to give in ways that he won't realize. Because part of the thing of creating great things like this, Zane, and I'm happy to hear your thoughts, but when you do great things, right? When you do great things, and not necessarily by your own standards, but when you aspire, because I think sometimes doing great things is let's aim higher. People will look after stuff they're proud of.
Yeah.
People don't look after things they're not proud of, and people aren't stupid. People know what great is.
Yeah,
you don't have to be rich or be poor. People know what great is. You know, as a human being, there's an innate thing. So I think that's another thing you're giving back to your own city, is that if you are creating something where UTMB go, yeah, no, we're in. People in George know, even if they don't know what UTMB is per se, oh, they know. That's in France.
Mm, mm.
Like, no one's mucking around in Mont Blanc to come to George if you're not the real deal. And I think that means people look after not just the event, but the city itself. It's like, no, we're George. We've got a UTMB event.
Yeah.
That means something, and that'll mean something to people who don't even know where France is. And I think you're giving that to your own city. And I don't want to give you credit by yourself, because I know you're a family guy, to your whole unit that you've created this thing with. I think you guys should be extremely proud to how we've started. And you've said you're just getting started in your mind, and we're going to keep going. So I do want to say that, because some of us aren't from George. Some of my team, the guys that are here, it's their first time here. Just driving in, the guy said, this is insane. This is like a different country. Look how clean this place is. And the guy said it. It wasn't, I didn't say anything. Yeah, when the guys arrived, that it was an organic response of like, my God. You know, but you're adding to that world-class status. So you know, on behalf of whoever won't get the chance to thank you, I want to thank you as a South African, because that matters to me. Like, I don't want people to refer to Switzerland when they say great things. I want to say, oh, have you been to George?
Yeah.
People say Zurich. I say, no, have you been to George? No, that's in Africa. I say, have you been to George? I've been to Zurich. I've been to George. And I've been to Chamonix. Mm. I've been here. I invite them to come and see what we've got, because Chamonix is amazing.
Yeah.
You know, Zurich is amazing. Like these great cities, Lavaredo, amazing event.
Yeah.
But come to George. Like I say, we'll look all of them in the eye, and we deserve to be on that level. So thank you for, like, also, like, it's like the Springboks, right? Like, we're as good as you are.
Yeah.
That's lekker for me as a South African in a competitive sense, and we're a part of a great team, right? And you're giving that to your city, dude. You and your team and your family and your wife, who's unbelievable, and everyone that's come around. So you guys don't stop, because sometimes you've got to be the sacrificial lamb to do these great things. So we eventually go, yeah, man. Yeah, that is how we should live as South Africans, and keep aiming up, you know? So I really, really love that, dude. And, you know, as we deepen the relationship with UTMB, and I've noticed they're sending more and more, like, of their big stuff, you know? Like, year one, it was a little bit. Last year, we had the big boss. He was here. Unfortunately, we'll interview Paul Huddle on Wednesday. So he'll be on lookout for that.
Awesome.
So, you know, Juliette was here last year. She's brilliant. She's terrific. But she's, you know, they're sending the big players. Marta, who I absolutely love, she's here. So they're sending the big dogs. And I don't think serious people would come down here if we were mucking around. So that's also telling you that you for real, dude. As that relationship goes forward, you know, what are you hoping to kind of contribute? And to people who may be skeptical and go, yeah, it's in Africa. You know, sometimes it's not, they're ignorance. Ignorance can be, you know, a thing of, it's in Africa. What do you say to them if they're like, ooh, George, where's that? Africa, ooh.
Yeah.
You know?
I think that, you know, before I go to, let's talk to internationals wanting to come here and come to Africa and come to George, it's also George in South Africa's point of view, and you two pointing out to it. That's why I also initially always referred to it as George Mutt, you know, as the George Mutt.
Yeah.
Wanting to put George onto the map. And I think before, everybody came to the Garden Route and they stayed in Plett, Mossel Bay, Knysna, and then George was just the spot where you went to buy your groceries, you know? It wasn't like while you on the beach. It wasn't a destination.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, it still has brilliant golf courses, and that was it, you know? And it was almost like a oversized retirement village, you know? But I think that ever since, and I don't want to give all the credit to the mat or the event or what we've done here, but it definitely is a destination. We see it. The tourism is going up. People are stopping here because of the mountain, because of the trails, because of the access, and being able to go into mountains. And then to add on to that, you know, I've been talking to various international role players wanting to come and do training camps here for outside of Matt's space, event space, to prepare for other events overseas.
Uh-huh.
And there's a few things that they pick up that they say when they've been here before that they don't get in Europe. Firstly, it's the currency.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. we
20-1.
Exactly. Okay, so that one is a given and an easy one for us. But then secondly is the access to the mountain is so easy in George. You know, we've got magical mountains down in Durban, where you came from with Durban.
Yeah.
Natal.
Yeah, yeah.
With the Drakensberg.
Yeah. But to be clear, I am closer. I don't want to be confused for being Zulu. I just went to school there.
Okay.
Yeah. Because Zulu's a knockoff of Xhosa.
Zane's
not saying that. Yeah. They're the knockoff of the real thing. Yeah.
Okay.
But I don't want people confused. Yes, please go ahead.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
I just went to school in the Midlands.
Okay. There we go. So the Drakensberg and all of that. But these mountains, firstly, you can experience proper wild mountains. I'm going to probably say it in one of my race briefings as well, where the Milo route goes at the back of these mountains. I'm pretty sure there's leopard and baboon in that part of the mountain that's not seen human life.
Yeah.
You know, they are so remote and so far.
Yeah.
And we've cut a trail through that mountain. It's an old, very historic trail that used to be there that we've reopened and made possible for this 100-mile loop to take place. Yeah. And it's so accessible, you know, in terms of you can literally be at a coffee shop, park your car, grab a good quality cup of coffee, run, and you are within an hour, you're on top of the peaks. Or if you don't want to do that, you just want to contour along, you're within 10 minutes on trail. And that was one of the comments that the Europeans, they like the France mountains or the Alps with Chamonix and so on, you either need to take a ski lift to get to the top mountains, or you've got all of these kilometers to cover in the bottom slopes before you get to the real mountain,
yep.
where you're into the mountain quick.
Yeah.
You know, so I think the experience, and then, you know, the African experience, the South African experience, we just got down, Marta that's here now, I helped her to do a little trip from, she's enjoyed the wines in Stellenbosch,
oh, sure.
and she's gone to a safari just down the road here at Botelieskop,
yep.
which is an amazing experience. She saw the Big Five. You know, there's so much more. We've got warm oceans here. There's so much more to experience in the Garden Route
yeah.
or this stroke from Cape Town to here when you come to South Africa. So I think that's really exciting that what we can offer, and that's also probably why I'm saying we got more to offer and more to bring to this event and to raise the bar, yeah, even, you know.
Yeah, it is wild. You know, I just want to get a shot of welcome quickly there. Welcome, did you hear the thing about the leopards? We're going to take a hike. You heard leopards, eh?
I heard, but I'm good for now.
So we were talking about all this and the access to, and I don't think he believed me when I said, oh no, there's leopards here.
Yeah, yeah.
Like they are roaming around.
Yeah, yeah.
You will run into them at night if you are not on your P's and Q's. So,
yeah.
So you know, I absolutely loved his response. I as you were saying it, I thought, oh my goodness, Welcome is going to love this because he's been saying he wants to hike.
So the one aid station in the race is called Tierkop. So
yep.
It's Afrikaans name. But the sort of the guys locally, they never talked about it a leopard or a leopard. They talked about it as a tier. Now, a tier in direct translation is a tiger. But obviously, we don't have tigers in South Africa.
No.
So I don't know where, but a lot of the local people have always, and from here all the way down into the Bavianskloof where we do the mountain bike race mm-hmm. as well, is they refer to it as a tier. A leopard. So that hut is Tierkop because of it's where they obviously spotted a lot of leopard before. So.
Taking us into the race. One thing I wanna touch on, and you know, I am not PC guy. One of the things that's unique about this race as well, and you know, it can be still. I remember myself thinking of women's participation in sport as like a box ticking exercise. I remember being that guy. I'm not even ashamed to say it.
Mm.
And I'd like to think I'm becoming more enlightened as I get older and my position is evolving, you know? I'd like to think, but some people say I'm still as stupid as I was when I was 20, but it's evolving to the fact that no, these are elite athletes doing elite things. And one of the things I'm about is like, it's not, again, it's not a pie, my man.
Mm.
Is for women to come in doesn't mean my pie is getting less. And I used to have that kind of attitude. I want to be completely honest, you know? But seeing what Mutt has done with female participation, and Shimut, hashtag Shimut, is actually one of the lines from this year that I absolutely loved. I saw the hashtag. Is that's a big thing, right? I believe it's what, 56-44 split women to men.
Correct.
And, you know, that is unlike any race in the world, not just here in South Africa. There are very few races where there are this many women. And now to have majority women participating in a genuine UTMB event, without being corny about it, I think it's what it just shows you is like, oh, there's room for everyone. Come play.
Yeah, yeah. It's an amazing thing. I can't actually explain it. And it's I've been watching those figures over the years, and then when I shared it with the team, the greater international team, yep. they were like, holy hell, there's no other event in the World Series of 45 events with that sort of ratio
yeah.
of female participation, which is amazing for us. It is testament to a few things that I'd like to highlight, and I think so, is that you know, George's and the mountain here, it's a safe space to run in, and yeah. people enjoy it, and we've got a lot of ladies running here, and that's really great for us to have that, and to for girls to be freely roaming in the mountains and running, and it's you know, hopefully a testament to what we've put on, that they feel that the race is in such a standard that they feel safe to participate in the event. Yeah. I also think that we've got, in George itself, we've got a strong female base of runners. Mm. I think you've had Rebecca on the show already. We've got some really stars coming out of our community. And I think that the women's participation in this event and in out of our community is going to be exciting in the future.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it is lacquer. What it does get, actually, I hadn't thought about this until you're saying it now, is for any serious guys who are looking for a wife, this might be a good reason to come and participate, because also you know that these ladies are going to be serious people, because trail runners aren't mucking around. You're not going to get some lay lady who's just wants to be a yuppie. Like, these are serious humans. So if you're looking for a high quality, high like character person to be a wife, I'm thinking that sign up for that reason. Because listen, there's a lot of my friends, including me, you know, bachelors who are just sad. And they're like, bro, where do you meet people? I'll tell you where you meet them. 100 kilometers into a race. Maybe, you know what I mean?
You just better pull up your socks.
The problem is a lot of them are much fitter than you, and that you probably aren't going to...
They're strong. Yeah.
No, they're unbelievable. Like the women's field, and just thinking of how young some of the participants are. Like these 20, 21-year-olds, they are like not scared. Oh yeah, no, I'm running the 100K. Is it? You know, and they're tiny, but they are so strong.
Yeah.
And you know what? You know what my favorite is, because I do get to work on finish lines. You do see sometimes when these young girls beat like these buff oaks, and you know, even me as a guy, sometimes I do find myself thinking, yo, I can't believe this lady's beating me, because it's quite an ego thing, you know. Yeah, as men, we're like, no, we're the strong ones. Until you get 50 k's in, and then she just zips past you, and it stings, eh? It does sting. Even me as a guy, I have to admit. Even to this day, it's like, yussi. But I dig it. I love yeah. seeing it, and they're a part of it, you know. So I think that's an amazing thing. You said a great thing about it's a safe space, you know. Mm. It's a safe space for, number one, that speaks to George, as you said. But it's great that we're creating a space where everyone, because when women's, if women feel safe, everyone feels safe.
Yeah, yeah.
That means now we're cooking, you know. We're doing the most important thing, I think, in human existence, which is community, you know. Yeah. And you know what I'm looking forward to? We've got like Mauritius joining in as Africa. So we've put the tent pole down here in George. You know, we are the number one, the first one in Africa. But you know, let's do it all together. And Mauritius is coming on. Maybe we can talk a little bit about looking forward to, you know, I don't know if Mauritius will need our help, but I'm sure they'll come and talk to you about whatever it may be. But your thoughts on Mauritius as Africa's second UTMB event, and they're coming on board, and we can't wait to support them as well, of course.
Yeah. No, I think Mauritius is exciting. Now we've got more than one African event.
Yeah.
And they, yeah, I mean, it's an island, so I presume it's going to be great. And yeah. I've met with the guys, the race directors. They seem to be all on board and exciting. So it'd be great to watch unfold. Maybe, hopefully, I'll go and check it out a bit and do a bit of a run there and see what it's like. But yeah, I don't think, you know, I think there's probably space for one or two more African continent, maybe yeah. a lot more north than South Africa, events coming in the future. And it will create more African vibe and racing and giving more people exposure to trail running.
Yeah.
And that's always been the thing with the UTMB World Series, is to access it, to make access to everybody for it. And that's why an African event was so important. Yeah, I mean, if you look at our continent, we can swallow the whole of Europe into our continent, you know, before. So we need to add more races. So I think it's exciting. And we'll see. We'll see what time involves. And hopefully, I don't want to say this yet, but maybe in the future, we'll the mat can become one of the majors.
Oh, I love it. I was going to say it. No, I'm glad you said it. I was going to say it because it deserves it. One thing that I just do want you to quickly explain for people coming this weekend, you know, people can read, but sometimes it is nice to hear, like, idiots like me, I'm going to listen to it, I'm not going to read, I'm not smart enough to read. The stones, maybe we can quickly unpack that for people, because I've had people ask me sometimes, you know, they're smart people, but they're like, oh, how does it actually work? So what is the stone collection in the UTMB, and what does that mean, and what's on offer for guys here at the MUT?
Yeah, so it is always, it is a debated topic, and I think the problem is that most people just don't go and read the thing. But it is, so there's three things to being part of the UTMB. So firstly, any race in South Africa, or in any part of the world for that matter, can list their race as a UTMB index race, okay? So you can register with them, it's a simple form as a race director or whatever, and put the race onto the UTMB index. What that does for an athlete is it helps him improve his UTMB index score, okay? So there's a scorecard system that just increases his score the more UTMB affiliated or index races he does, okay? Then the second thing to that is the World Series events, which MUT is part of, and that is all of those events will have the title in their name by UTMB, okay? Only at those races, then there's 45 of them across the world at the moment, can you score a running stone, okay? So in the races, so like the 20K, the 50K, and the 100K, and then the 100 milers, the official categories.
Yes.
And in those, you score stones according to the distance. So for in our race, with the 25K, it's in the 20K category, and you only get one stone. Then the next level up is our marathon. You get two stones and so on and so forth. Okay, until the miler, you get four stones.
So and you just finish within the qualifying?
You just need to finish the race.
Got you.
You got stones. Got okay. You. The more stones you have, the bigger your... So let me just, before I go into that, the UTMB race has got 8,000 participants across all their races. It is one of the biggest races that people want to get in, and they had to develop a system which is a lottery system for people to be able to enter.
And so sorry, to be clear, that's UTMB Mont Blanc, which is the grand final. So final. Sometimes it can be confusing for people because it's UTMB means Ultra Trail Mont Blanc, but to be clear, there's UTMB which is in Mont Blanc. So just to be clear, no, UTMB in Mont Blanc is what you're talking about. The
finale,
grand final. Yeah.
So they've got a problem of oversubscription and needing to get people to qualify to enter their races. So the reason for this stone system is to better your chances to be able to enter, okay? So for a South African athlete that aspires to go and run Mont Blanc, virtually before MUT, it was almost impossible. We've had races that has gone. Yeah. A lot of athletes that have made the effort and did the whole, it took a year to qualify and get it and to go. And I mean, it was possible, but it was very limited. Now it's open for more people to be able to do that. So because as soon as you get running stones, your chances of getting a lottery entry into the finale in Mont Blanc is a lot easier. So that's how so your first rating is an index, then your running stones, and then the third thing to what we offer here is our podium winners. So male and female, top three of each distance, official categories, gets an automatic entry into Mont Blanc.
To the matching race. So if you win the 100 miler, you get an entry guaranteed at Mont Blanc.
Correct.
Top three.
Top three.
Okay.
Top three.
Okay.
So that's how we also, they do that to make sure we've got the strongest field in the finale to compete against each other.
Mm.
So that's basically what it comes down to, and what the stones and all the things work means to be able to do it.
Yeah. No, okay. Because that was something a lot of people are asking me, like, oh, I'm just the MC. I'm also... You know, but I'm glad you explained that, and I think you've broken it down quite well. Anybody who needs to hear it, if you can't figure that out, you probably shouldn't be out in the mountain where there's leopards, because you're not going to be able. Between you and me,
exactly.
You've nailed it, dude. I'm looking forward to a great week. We've got unbelievable guests coming this week. We've got so much action. We've got a couple of things that I think I'll tell people later in the week. There's actually an international UTMB competition rolling out at the moment where you can win an incredible prize. We'll roll out our one on Friday the 24th, but it's currently going on the UTMB website. We'll tell people about that. It's just an incredible prize.
Like, I don't even know about it.
Yeah, it's part of a Hoka competition, but you can win Wow. It's crazy. If you win this thing, it's a crazy prize that they're offering. It's an incredible prize. So that's just one of the things. We'll tell people more about George. There's incredible, one of my heroes, by the way. Don't tell anyone. She's Robin Owen now.
Oh, yes. I've never met her, but I know, yeah. I have met her at Adventures.
One of my biggest heroes. Yeah. So we got her on the show. We got the big boss, Paul, later this week. Friday, Ryan Sands is going to be on the show. So we got an action-packed, and we brought out, listen, we're big time. We brought out the big time, guys.
Nice.
We're doing it. This is going to be an African major on the UTMB scene, and we're here. And like I told you earlier, I don't work with dickheads. I'm here because I like you. Like, the fact that we're at an event, sweet deal, it's amazing. But I like you, I believe in you, and it's the only reason why I'll work here. It's the only reason why I had my brothers and I come here and as the MKT show. So, dude, thanks for having us, and I hope, I can't wait this week. We'll be on the finish line to bring everybody in, and let's just keep going, eh? Like, as a South African, I'm just so stoked that I can, when I meet people and they say, yo, we've got UTMB, and obviously outside of the series, the Americans will have their races, the Asians will have their races, but I said, we've got George. I no longer need to sit at the kids' table. Like, that's such a good feeling, dude. So shout out, let's have a great week, and I know we got some grind to put in, but looking forward to an incredible week, brother.
Thanks, Mumbulelo. Thanks for having me, and super stoked to be here, and let's see how this week's unfold. I hope I can deliver on all expectations from athletes, yourself, and everybody here with this event. But yeah, we're excited to get going now.
Ladies and gents, we are at the big table. UTMB says, George, we see you. We're going to do our thing. Join us on the MKT show. We'll keep rolling through the week. It is UTMB week. MKT show has said, we want to be a part of the Mutt, proudly presented by UTMB.